Let me start with a personal consideration. So when I started my university studies almost 20 years ago, I first chose physics as a discipline because I thought that mathematics was only about integrals and derivatives, while physics was about the universe. So this was my natural choice. But then during the first year, I realized that my natural inclination was rather towards abstract reasoning, and I didn't understand much of physics, so I chose to change, and then I remained a mathematician, and I probably remained a mathematician of my life. But then this fascination for physics, in some sense, remains, and so being invited to a conference like this is a great honor. And it's also it makes me, in some sense, feel less the frustration of being a failed physicist. So for this reason, I thank the organizers a lot. Still, in this conference, I see many lively debates, right, which come from some controversies on models or interpretations and so on. These things rarely happen in a probability department where I am. During talks, people usually rather fall asleep than get angry about what the speaker says. So this is what I'm used to. And I must admit, these debates are very interesting from outside, but I don't really want to take the risk of participating. So this would be rather stressful for me. So for this reason, I want to concentrate on some safe and harmless mathematical detail. This will be the content of my talk. So I'm going to zoom on one aspect of what Raphael has discussed in his talk. So I will simplify even more the situation. So in that, I'm just going to consider one hot wall. So I will discuss a particle moving in the interval 0, 1, which is emitted from 0 with a certain update, so with a random speed, which corresponds to this distribution phi, phi beta, okay? And it travels at a constant speed until it reaches 1. When it reaches 1, it's absorbed, and it, or a new particle, is re-emitted from 0 with a new speed taken from the same a sample of the same probability distribution. So in this way, you obtain an ergodic Markov process of position and velocity. So this is the state space, right? So I stress that the zero is not include. So sorry, this is position and this is momentum. So zero speed is not considered because otherwise the particle does not move and it is not, say, it is an even less interesting model. And there is a unique invariant measure which is given explicitly in this way. So this is uniform in space, and it is a kind of Gaussian, so the T should be in the denominator, sorry. So it is kind of Gaussian in momentum. Okay, so it's positive because, of course, I chose to go only in one direction. And this was chosen exactly in order to have this Gaussian-like probability invariant measure. Okay, so again, notice that p equal to 0 is a trap, and so a trap which you do not actually see in this situation, okay, because you only chose positive speed. And this is used by, for instance, in simulations to model a heat bath at temperature T. Okay. Now, again, this is very simple and perhaps even silly, but I'm going to show you that there are some interesting mathematical aspects. So just to be again precise, I consider this probability distribution phi beta. I take an IID sequence of speeds vi with this distribution, and tau I is 1 over vi. So tau I is the time it takes to the particle to go from 0 to 1 at speed vi. Okay? So this is simple. And you build explicitly your process in this way. There is first a deterministic time to reach 1 for the first time. Then these are the subsequent collision times with 1. And okay, at t time t between two collision times, you have a uniform motion in the space and constant speed equal to vn 1 over tau n. Okay? So notice that the law of tau I is explicit, and it has this polynomial tail. Okay? So 1 over t cube as t goes to infinity. Okay? So although we come from some Gaussian world, we end up with some variables which have polynomial tail. In particular, they have no exponential moments. So this will play an important role later when we discuss large deviation. Okay, notice that at least the mean of tau is finite, but we could consider, okay, I will say later that we can consider actually arbitrary phi for what we say without any moment. Okay, so this is only an example. We could discuss more general models. We are working on this, so I want to stay to this simple situation. Let me just tell you what are the main features which interest us. So this system jumps, okay, from a current state, which is the speed. So the motion in space is not very interesting. The real state that you should keep in mind is the speed. The point is that if you don't consider the motion in space, then you don't have a Markov process. So that's why we keep also the space here. But anyway, the speed is the relevant, the momentum is the relevant state here. Okay, the jumps happen at discrete times. So this is a piecewise deterministic process. Okay? So some regions of the state space play the role of traps. So I said t equal to 0 is a trap. Even if you don't reach 0, if you have a very slow speed, then it will take a very long time to cross the interval from 0 to 1. Okay, so before you can update your speed and have a new one, it will take a very long time. And so this time has a polynomial tail. It's the tau e that I showed you before. So it's relatively large. And you enter such trap regions with a polynomially small, which means large probability, so large compared with exponentially small. Okay? So I want to discuss the large deviation properties of this simple system, but in some sense I think that I could generalize the discussion to other more complicated situations which will have these properties. So by the way, this is important. I forgot at the beginning to say that this is a joint work with Raphael Lefebvre and Mauro Marien. So now in this model there is a quantity which is the local current, okay, which is the amount of energy you transport from 0 to 1. And the energy is purely kinetic, and it is given by this. Okay? Now, nt is the number of collisions up to time t, vi square over 2 is the kinetic energy, so this is very, very simple. So our study started from from this quantity, and then actually we realized that this could be put in a larger perspective. So if you want to compute this kind of the large deviations of this kind of quantity, one way is to study the cumulant generating function, which can be computed explicitly here. It's not very important. So it turns out that the cumulant generating function has this kind of profile. Okay, it is zero up to some level, and then it becomes strictly convex. And it is well known that the cumulant generating function is related with by the Legendre transform with the large deviation rate of J over T. But when the cumulant generating function is not strictly convex, the Gärtner-Ellis theorem does not, so it only yields the upper bound and not the lower bound. So for the lower bound, you have to enter a little bit more into the details of the dynamics. Okay, this can be done. It's not very important now. So indeed, the large deviation principle holds with I, which also looks like this, so just with a different precise shape. But in this situation, the qualitative shape is the same as F. And notice that F and I are not analytic, of course. Now, so at first we were very puzzled by this flat part of I. Okay, so let's try to understand where it comes from. So the average current can be written as the integral of a function with respect to the empirical measure of the process. Okay, so this is the empirical measure. The function in this case is p cube, okay, rather than p square, but anyway, it is some function that you integrate. And now, if you can compute the large deviation of mu t, then by contraction principle, you should obtain the large deviation for the current. Now, this is the content of the Dosken-Varadin theory. Okay, let's see. The generator of our silly process has a rather strange form. So it is given by L of F equal to P df in dq. So this is usual for uniform motions. But in the domain, there are some boundary conditions. So the F is a function of Q and P. So F of 1 P, or say F1 V, has to be equal to the integral of F of 0 P with respect to this update distribution. So this is, I was told that these are also known as Boltzmann boundary conditions. Okay. Now, if you believe the Dosken-Varadin theory, then this should be the large deviation rate functional of the empirical measure, okay? So the supremum of this integral. Okay, so this supremum can be computed. It's another small computation. So this will be plus infinity unless mu has this product structure, so it will be uniform in Q and some measure in P. And when this is the case, then this is the form. So this is the integral of P in mu dP times the relative entropy of this transformation of the measure mu respect to the update distribution. Okay, so it's an explicit form. So very well. You can also see that this is zero only when mu is equal to the invariant measure. So it's a standard convex functional. So, but now if we go back to the contraction principle we want to do, then this large deviation rate should be given by an infimum, right, of this expression. So actually, since I is convex, this infimum should have perhaps a minimum, and then you would have this. But if this is correct, then where does this flat part come from? Okay, so this will be always positive, so the minimum will be zero only if you are at the correct value, and the other zeros are rather mysterious. Okay, so there is something wrong here. Okay? So it took us some time to understand what was wrong, but actually it turns out that this Donsker-Vardan functional in this situation is not a good functional, so it is not coercive. One can approach a zero speed with a bounded cost. Okay, so because of this factor mu of p, which multiplies. So in some sense, if you converge to a Dirac mass at zero, so this will diverge, but you can do this in a way that this goes to zero or anyway compensates this part, and then it will remain bounded. So we don't have a good functional, and this is not just a mathematical say detail, because so to have a full principle you need a good functional, and to have a contraction principle you need a full large deviation principle. Okay, so this operation is not justified if you don't have a full large deviation principle. So it turns out that this measure mu t, which lives in this space, does not satisfy a full large deviation principle in this space, exactly because you don't get a good functional. So you have to enlarge your space and add the trap. And then the result is that mu t indeed satisfies a full large deviation principle in the enlarged space with a rate functional I, which at this time will be good, and which is given by the lower semi-continuous envelope of the Donsker-Vardan rate function. Okay? So this is kind of an abstract theorem. So it is not completely abstract, also because we have an explicit description of this operator. Okay, so in fact, let me now consider an arbitrary updated distribution for my process. Okay, I go from phi beta to phi, which lives on 0 plus infinity without the 0, without the plus infinity. Okay? Otherwise, it's completely arbitrary. And then you have this process which goes from 0 to 1 with this update procedure. Now, it is possible to compute this lower semi-continuous envelope and prove the large deviation full principle. And the correct large deviation rate has this form. So you have the Donsker-Vardan functional plus this linear term in mu, okay, which is so the mass given by mu to the trap times this constant psi, which is related to the exponential moments of the return times. Okay, so in the Gaussian case I showed you before, this is psi zero, so there is no exponential time. Okay, so which means that this part is actually zero. But then what changed? So what changed is that there is an interval of, so this is written here, an interval of rate measures which have rate infinity for Donsker-Vardan, but have rate zero now in this situation. Okay, so this is given by the convex combinations of the invariant measure and a Dirac mass at zero. Okay, and this precisely explains this flat part, in the sense that the minimum I was trying to compute here, okay, will be achieved by one element of this for this convex combination. Okay, so by enlarging the space, I have realized now my variational problem, finding the correct minimum. So of course you can have situations where psi is positive. So this will produce a different. So for instance, let's say you have exponential return times tau. Right. So then this will produce a profile like this. So here this will be strictly convex. And this will be flat, and again, this will be related with this linear part. Okay, and so which gives then a large deviation rate, which is not strictly convex. Okay, so to summarize, to conclude, so we so perhaps I can show you again this slide. So we are. So it was fun to make these computations, and now we are discussing some situations where you have more general models problems, okay, with such an evolution which risks going close to regions, okay. Which could be like traps, and from which it is difficult to escape in a short time, and we are so studying the large deviations of this, and we see such say phenomena of the need of enlarging the space to have a well-defined large deviation principle, and okay, so this could include some of the models which are discussed in this conference has been discussed in other talks, and we hope to tell you more about this in the future. Thank you very much.